Well, hello there. I'm James. I am the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials, our podcast to discuss and explore our faith a little bit further, to celebrate the good news and the places of hope that we see in the world. For today, I have our scripture lessons and our message from Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. There was a lot of green in the congregation, and it was a great time to be together. Our first lesson came from the Old Testament. It was from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. That's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did my part as their master, God's decree. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer run around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand. The dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. They'll forget. I'll forget they ever sinned. God's decree. Our gospel lesson was from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. There were some Greeks in town who had come up to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us?" Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip together told Jesus. Jesus answered, "Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Right now I am shaken. What am I going to say? Father, get me out of this? No, this is why I came in the first place. I'll say, Father, put your glory on display. A voice came out of the sky. I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. The listening crowd said, Thunder. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, The voice didn't come for me, but for you. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now, Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out. And I, as I am lifted up from the earth, will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. He put it this way to show how he was going to be put to death. Here ends the reading of our word. I was fortunate enough to grow up with my grandparents as my next door neighbors. We moved to Door County when I was in the second grade, back to where my mom grew up, and we built a house in the field next to theirs. So we'd go over for dinner. My friends and I would climb the big maple tree in their front yard. And when my grandparents were hosting the extended family for a holiday meal, we could easily sneak home for that quick afternoon nap or a game of basketball in the driveway. To kind of connect the two yards that we had, my dad and my grandpa mowed paths in the field. We had this huge loop in our backyard, but then they made several little shortcuts so you could be from our back door to grandma and grandpa's in an instant. This was something my childhood dog, Marley, became very fond of once he figured out that grandma kept a special box of treats just for him. Eventually, we'd let him outside to go do his business. We'd kind of forget that he was out there, knowing that he wouldn't go too far. Then we'd get a call, and it would be Grandma saying, "I have your dog." Going to retrieve him wasn't the worst thing either, because there was usually a cookie in it for our troubles as well. Right off the path that Marley took, the shortcut Marley went on, there was one of my favorite things about our house growing up. There was a wild black raspberry bush. It was always so exciting in the summer to track their progress, waiting for those berries to get nice and dark. When I was little, when we first moved there, this bush was really small. You'd be lucky to go in there and come out with more than a handful of berries. But each summer, I would grow a little bit, and that bush would be growing too. After years of ducking, reaching, contorting my body, trying to grab that one berry that was almost impossible to get, this humble bush had turned into a small forest. Of course, all that time harvesting meant that a few berries would inevitably fall to the ground. If they hit the right spot, if they might get stepped on or smushed into the soil, that bush would get to multiply from those berries that fell to the ground. But to keep up with this new abundance, I had to change my approach. I had to start bringing out containers with me to collect. At first, my hands were fine, but then I needed small bowls. Eventually, when I was in high school, I needed giant Tupperware containers to fit all these berries. But with all these berries, my family couldn't keep up with the number that we had to eat. My mom put them in her oatmeal. We went to the Dairy Queen. We made shakes out of them. But the berries were always ahead. When I was getting ready to leave for college, there were so many to harvest that I brought a container for our house and a separate container for my grandma. And pretty soon, it wasn't just Marley outside her door waiting for a treat. It was younger James looking to offload some more raspberries. We made jam with them. We made homemade sundaes. We did everything we could think of to make use of these berries. It turned into a great excuse to go and see my grandma. But it's incredible to think of how this little bush evolved into something massive. When I first discovered it and it only grew a few raspberries, if one happened to fall on the ground, I would get on my hands and knees to find it again. I was protective over those berries. There was no way I was going home without one. I couldn't spare the thought of one crashing to earth and dying there. But of course, that's exactly what needed to happen in order to produce the abundance that would follow. There's so much life generated, not just within the bush, but for those special childhood memories, spending more time with grandma. And it was only possible because a few were let go, allowed to fall down to the earth and grow. Jesus uses similar imagery as he talks about a grain of wheat in our gospel lesson, how it bears fruit once it falls to the ground. It's dead to the world, it's buried, then it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. And I could taste a handful of black raspberries as Jesus makes this point. Here he's obviously referring to his own death. It's his death and his burial that will bring abundant life. Abundant life that's only found through his willingness to embrace the cross. And as the Greeks are in town for the festival, they desire to see Jesus. This seems like a turning point for him. The news of his signs and his ministry has clearly spread. Even the Greeks just want to get a sight of him. So, having accomplished what he came to do with his teaching and healing, having captured the attention of Jews and Gentiles, of the elite and the lowly. He says, now the time has come. The time has come to give himself up, and there's no turning back. As we walk with him to the cross once again, we are reminded of that life-giving sacrifice. To choose loss for himself in order to bring abundance for others. He's willing to let go of his life because he knows that it will be planted, it will grow beyond his companion's wildest imaginations. And there's so much wisdom in letting go so something else can flourish. I wish I could say it was wisdom back all those years ago that let a few berries rest in the soil when I was a kid. But I know it was just dumb luck. It happened by chance. Here, Jesus is talking about an intentional choice, though, choosing to give something up, to give something new a chance. And I'll invite you to consider for yourself if there's something in your life that has run its course, that it might be time to say goodbye to in order to give new life a chance to grow. But we'll talk about how the church could follow this example as well. Mainly, I wonder if the church can give up what we think we know about God to let the Spirit speak to us in new ways. From how we interpret Scripture to how we structure our congregational life, what could give way for the hope-filled presence of God to grow? As a bit of a dramatic example, I think of the Lutheran congregation in Milwaukee that's been partnering with the Trickleby Cafe since day one. The Trickleby is a pay-what-you-can cafe of the Moravian Church. Now, this Lutheran congregation recently decided to formally close their church doors, to cease existing as a congregation. But those involved in this community want to continue their ministry in meaningful ways. So they will gather to worship and have Bible study at coffee shops. They want to support community programs and with the hope that the passing of their church could produce fruit, they gave a donation of $45,000 to the Trickleby Cafe. Instead of slowly fading away, they decided it was time. Time to say goodbye and make the most of these gifts that they have. And again, that is an extreme example. Not calling our congregation to do the same. I love a good cup of coffee, but I don't plan on preaching at a Starbucks anytime soon. But the church shows how life can be embraced at the time of death or loss. Saying goodbye can bring something new. And I wonder if there's a new opportunity that we are trying to create the energy for, a new way to connect with our community. And sometimes we're hesitant to explore these opportunities because we know it will require extra effort. But what if saying goodbye to something that's run its course, can allow us to plant energy for something new? Are we willing to let something go, as wonderful and life-giving as it might have been? Are we strong enough to bury it in order to see fruit grow in a new way? Because here in our churches, we have a unique way of holding on to things that we love for so very long. They're started by people that we adore, often relatives, spiritual ancestors of ours. It might remind us of precious memories of growing up in the church. A part of who we are as Christians. But today, God might be calling us to do something new while we are too scared to let go of what once was. Instead, let's hang on to the trust we place in our God who makes all things new and who loves us dearly. And then what we might give up isn't something we will mourn as a loss, but a celebration for the new life that's beginning here within us. Amen. Well, thank you for stopping by for another episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, it's the Glenwood Moravian Community Church. You can check out our website. You can follow us on Facebook or attend worship with us on YouTube. If you want to learn more about the Moravian Church, you can go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I will catch you all next time.